Glory to God. What wonderful words the Lord has shared with us. What a wonderful presence. What wonderful actions, really. Great things He has done. If we can learn to be really tickled about what would seem to be the most insignificant of things, we will experience even more significant things, but they won't be such surprises simply because, as Sarah said, He adores us. He loves us. He stripped the devil, put him on display with a muzzle on his mouth, says we just need to trust Him, to rely on the truth. To love the truth. Remember back a little while ago we talked about loving the truth. You know, putting the truth above everything. The truth is that the devil was stripped of his power. The truth is, in Colossians as well, that God has seated us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We can get above the things that come at us. I was reading in the Psalms this week, and on the 13th, you read the 13th, the 43rd, the 73rd, the 103rd, and the 133rd, which has been my habit. And it was a great group of, they just tie together and work together. It's okay. That one's working. Thank you, though. And the 73rd Psalm talks about that God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But then he says, but boy, my feet almost stumbled. I started out, he knows God's good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart, but he says, my feet almost stumbled. My steps nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And he begins to go on and say how they get away with everything and they seem to still be doing good. And they even go so far as to mock God and they're having success. And, you know, he was going off into a tiny bit of a pity party. Wouldn't you say? It's easy to focus on those things if we want to. But if you notice, when you focus on those things, which way do they take you? Down. More miserable. Well, finally, he catches himself. Man, if I had said that I would speak that way, this is verse 15, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. In other words, I would have, out of my mouth, spoken lies. I would have been unfaithful to all that you've done in the past and all that you have planned for the future if I were to just begun to speak all those things. But he said, woo, I caught myself. When I considered then, when I came to myself, you know, sometimes we have to come to ourselves. When I came to myself and I began to consider how to understand this, then I understood that their end was going to be pretty bad. I came into your sanctuary. Come on. What is that, Charles? Welcome, by the way. Something's not making great connection, is it? Well, can't have that. Not at all. Quit. Fine then. We'll switch to this. If it wants to be that way. I can live with that.
So anyway, he comes to his senses and he says, if I had spoken this way, I would have been untrue. And when I wondered how to understand it, because it was too painful for me, I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. Went into the presence of God. That's where we always want to be going, to the presence of God. Get into where God's at. And ultimately he says, okay, it's good for me to draw to God, near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I might declare all your works. He started out right. He ended up right. He had some stinking thinking. He straightened everything out and he realized, whoa, this is a blessing. This is a good blessing. Technology, you gotta love it. And as I was looking at that, you know, throughout Scripture, you find that the word repeats itself. It talks about, it rehearses what has gone on. They remind Israel of all that God did for them. God reminds Israel. The prophets remind Israel. We see them go. We read the Psalms. It says, oh, we messed up. Then we made a comeback. And God heard us. And he heard our cry. And everything straightened out. And we see that they do a lot of reviewing. And I was considering that. And early this morning, as I woke up, the Lord said, review for the new. Now, oftentimes, we review what God has spoken to us before. The reason we review it is because I don't know about you. I learn something new all the time. The other thing is that we aren't always here to hear what the Lord has said. And everybody needs to have what God has for us in particular. And the other thing is that the more that we review the goodness of God, the more that we're prepared for the new things that God has planned. That we remember God has good plans. There's nothing wrong with the scripture that says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans for good and not for evil. It is funny, there are people who have actually taken exception to that verse. Because they think that people have abused that verse. That there's something wrong with saying that God is good and has good plans. There's only one being, one person that I can think of that would have an opposition to that scripture, and that would be the devil. You know, the devil would like when someone, especially a young person, you know, because the young person are the next people that are going to carry that word, the devil would like nothing better than to have someone come up and say, God says he adores me. And God has good plans for me. Well, there would be nothing finer that the devil could think of than have the preacher come up after that and say, now, honey, God doesn't talk to people. He doesn't even talk to me, honey. So you must be hearing things. Although God did tell me you should give $100. And God did tell me that I should build a fine, beautiful church, but God doesn't speak to people. I mean, that's just how confused people are. Well, you can't get that from me. From me, you'll get keep listening, keep hearing, keep trusting, keep believing, and declare all of his works. Tell it to everybody. Do you know what God told me? It don't matter if they want to hear it or not. I got so excited, God told me something. Right? Man, when something exciting happens, people will call. Somebody wins the lottery, they don't go off and hide and go, oh, I better keep it a secret. But tell everybody. My goodness, with Facebook, they tell everybody more things than anybody needs to hear. The toilet water was yellow this morning. Maybe that wasn't in there. But, you know, I mean, honestly, the strangest things pop up. Like, I don't understand how people think that anybody really cares. But what's really sad is something stupid can start a four-hour conversation for a whole bunch of people. Throwing in, and I'm just not bright enough to piece it all together, because I also am not about to spend the time doing it. But, you know, God is so good, and we should declare all of His works. Remember, last week, on Sunday, I told you about getting a God wing. The rest of the story was, I went to pick up the God wing, and when the guy realized I was getting a God wing and not a gold wing, he realized that he said, I can tell you a little bit more of the truth. He said the truth was he quit riding because he lost his balance, because he had a tumor, because he lost the hearing and now he couldn't keep his balance. And so his wife quit riding with him, and so did he. And I said, well, then we're going to pray for that. What do you need, honey? It's distracting you. I'm sorry, honey. We don't want to distract you, because you're easily distracted, bless your heart. Hey, that's fine. Once in Russia, a guy asked me afterwards, he said, boy, when you chew gum, it just is distracting me. And I said, praise the Lord. I haven't chewed gum since when I spoke. They can put up with my bad breath. They're going to have it. But, you know, the thing is that then we prayed for him. And he took my hand, and when we started to pray, his grip got tighter. He didn't run away or try to get away. He wanted that. Yesterday I talked to him. I said, how are yours? He said, I don't know. With my hearing aid, everything is so loud now. Something must be happening. After picking up that one, I saw another one. And I felt like I needed to get that other one. And I told Vicky, you know, I said, if nobody else wants it, I'll put it in the garage. But I just feel like I'm supposed to get that. And so I went to get that. And fortunately, we don't have one in the garage because John wanted that. But that didn't make any difference, because we get done picking it up and the guy says, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. Or he said, what church do you pastor? I told him. He said, well, maybe we'll come over there sometime. He told me, he said that my life, he said, my mother committed suicide 5 years ago when I found her, and he said, I sort of fell apart. But he said, now I'm trying to put my life back together. And he's a big guy. He looks like a big biker. And he had sunglasses on. He had tears in his eyes. I shouted all the way home from Pier on the motorcycle. Probably people along the way want to rise, but all of a sudden I said, I'll pray! And I was singing songs back and forth. We pulled into Blount, and I said to John, man, I got to tell you about this. Those are little things that God does. He's an awesome God. And when we talked recently about the power for life, and how in Ephesians it says that, you know, I pray that you would know the power of God towards you, that He gives us power for life. He gives us power to live this life. He gives us power to enjoy life and to help others to enjoy life. And that also that our minds might be renewed. And so then came the up with the mind power. The power, and remember we said to cast down those imaginations. That we don't want to just brush off those lies of the devil. We want to smash them. We want to allow that vision of him naked and muzzled and being on display. This is the devil that you're fearing. Toothless, helpless, hopeless. Don't take off his muzzle to see what he has to say. From now on, whenever he starts to talk, may your hearing be transformed so that all you hear is and don't take it off to say, what are you trying to say? Just tell him about it. Review the new. Review for the new. Review what the Lord has done for you. Review. We sing Amazing Grace. We receive the new and better covenant. We have the remembrance of the new and the better covenant. We have these treasures in earthen vessels. We have God who adores us. We have a God who's a responsible parent. Too much of the church makes him out to be a deadbeat dad. Here sometimes, not here sometimes. Sometimes nice, sometimes not. Depending, you got to catch him on a good day. God only has good days. We may give him bad moments, but it doesn't change his day. We need to become the same way, where we only have bad moments that can't last. Where, you know, I mean, this psalm is 28 verses. The first verse is excellent. There's about 12 verses that are a little questionable. Three or four verses in the middle that are beginning to catch on, and it ends up, it's good for me to draw near to God so I can declare all of his works. That we're not so quick to just focus on what's not good. Yesterday morning, I got a text from Jordan. He said, "Bad news, I've been recycled. I'll call you later." Well, we had quite a bit of conversation later, but one thing that he said really stuck with me. He said they say that real rangers recycle. I guess I'm a real ranger. But when he called, he said, "Dad, I'm not giving up on my faith," he said, "but I'm trying to figure something out. I sometimes, when I could have slept, read my Bible. I've been faithful to God. I've not denied him, and I've corrected people who were abusing his name, and I've done all this, and we prayed for favor with the RIs, and I'm being recycled. And I'm just trying to figure out why God did this." And always said, "I realize God didn't do it, but why did he allow it? Why does he allow this?" And, you know, and I just let him talk, and I said, "Well, son, you got part of it right, and you got part of it you're a little confused about, but, you know, I mean, no, God never had one bad plan for you. Not one." And see, the even more confusing thing about it was one of the ranger instructors, one of them told him, he said, "Okay, all I can tell you is you got robbed. There's no way that you should be recycled. You just got robbed. We had a new grading scale. We didn't know how it was going to work out, and you're being recycled." There were only three people out of the whole thing that got recycled. All three of them were officers. And all three of them were in the upper 90% of the class. Jordan was in the top 97%. He said, "I don't understand this, Dad." I said, "You'll do yourself a favor if you don't try. You will wear yourself out trying to understand those things. If you try to figure out God's plan in it, you'll be mad at him that he planned it. If you try to figure out why the devil got one sneaked in on you, you'll be mad at God that he let the devil sneak one in on you. You'll be better off to just say, 'Hey, I praise the Lord. It's your job. They're paying you for it. You take a couple of weeks off, you'll go do it again.'" He said, "Yeah." He said, "A bunch of those people that went through shouldn't even be here." One of his ranger instructors, he said, "Dad, the guy's overweight. He can't even do the stuff. He falls asleep and I have to wake him up. I was doing what I was told to do on this patrol, and he came out and told me, 'No, you're supposed to do this, 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 and this.' And he said, 'No, I'm not. I'm supposed to do this, 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 and this.' The guy said, 'No, you're supposed to do this.' So he said he was the guy in charge. I had to do what he said. Halfway through it, the guy that was the superior to the one who told him that came out and said, 'What are you doing this for? You're supposed to do this.' And he told Jordan the things that Jordan had said he was supposed to be doing. And the guy who told him wrong didn't own up to it. His fault. I said, 'Jordan, they are messing with your head.' 'No, that can't be it.' 'Well, maybe not. But I'm going to mess with your head and tell you to just play with it. Praise the Lord. Just trust God. You'll be fine.' Well, this morning he called back. He said, 'I told the devil, you ain't stopping me. Bring it on.' Then he said, I thought, ooh, I just prayed for the devil to bring it on. I said, nah. Devil ain't going to listen to your prayers anyway. You just told God I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now he's back on top of it. He's dandy. But we don't always understand. Why try? You know? I mean, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with saying, God, I don't understand. And if he instantly tells you the answer, good. But if you are going to try to figure everything out, you're going to spend a lot of time reviewing the wrong stuff. I mean, we can sit and we can review, oh, where did I go wrong? What did I do? Hey, if there's some place that God wants you to review for that and to say, put that under the blood, okay, fine. But if all we do is spend our time trying to find out, rather than starting down the next road, I'm reminded again of the time that we're driving on a good highway and end up on a logging road in Wyoming or Montana. And we're there, and I'm going, whoa. I still don't. It was a great road. I don't think I was asleep. If I was, praise God, there was a logging road there. But my first thought was not to backtrack and find a different way. The mind of Christ kicked in, and I said, that light must be brought us, Montana. That's where we're headed anyway. And there were back roads to get there on. And it's a wonderful thing. Well, they weren't great roads, but they got us there. And it's a wonderful thing. And so that's what I'll reflect on, is on the, I'll review what God did there for the new that might come another place. Because when we review what God has done, then it helps us to look for the new that God is going to do. And if we don't exaggerate the negative parts and rather have an attitude of expectation for the good parts, we'll have life. Because that's what he's given us, power for life. And he's given us mind power to overcome those things that come against us and try to steal our life. And he's given us the revelation of his love. And how much he adores us. He adored us first. He loved us first. And so his plans for us are good. And if we don't expect good plans from him, why bother with him? Oh, so you don't go to hell. That's a poor reason. Why not have life? Jesus did not come to keep us out of hell. He came that we might have life. Isn't that what he said? Did he say, I came so you wouldn't have to go to hell? That's not what he said. He mentions that those who choose not to love him and accept all of his goodness will be in the place that's reserved for who? The devil and his angels. That's the only place that place was made for. Heaven with Jesus is where was made for all of us. For every person, for all of creation. That's his desire. And so he came and he said, I've come that you might have life. More abundantly. That's why he came. To give you life. And if you want to review something, review his life. Review his ministry. There's always places where there's a clash between what man thinks and what God has planned. There is always a clash. The Jews were looking for a Messiah, but he was supposed to come as a conquering king. He came as a baby. They didn't like that. He came, and for 30 years, he just hung out and grew in favor with God and man. And then all of a sudden, there he was on the scene. If we were the ones making the plan, would we lead him into the wilderness for 40 days once he was here? No. But it wasn't for us to decide. If we were making the plan, would we let him be crucified? No. We surely wouldn't. What was God thinking? Well, you see, we couldn't imagine him going and stripping the devil and openly displaying him as defeated. We couldn't imagine how God planned things. That's why he's God. How many times have we had a better idea? I think this would really work here, God. This is how you should do it. Well, sometimes the end of what God does is absolutely what we thought, but the way that he does it and the way that we get to it, we have no idea. Like I said, with the second motorcycle, God never said, "No, I have another God plan for this one." He didn't say anything, in fact. All he did was put a desire in my heart that I had no idea for or what it was for. But when I saw the completion of God's plan in it, glory, hallelujah. The wonders that God has done to review for the new. What's he going to do next? What is his next great plan? What is the next thing he's going to do with your life? What's the next thing he's going to do around your life? What's going to be the next revelation for you? What's going to be the next thing that's going to give you an opportunity to go, "Woo, God, you're good"? Well, for one thing that will accelerate that, one thing that will provide the opportunity for that, is having in your heart the desire to declare all of his wonderful works. And having a desire that the eyes of your understanding be open, that your heart be open, and that, oh Lord, that this is what I live for. This is what I live for, to declare your works. So show me some stuff. Isn't that what the disciples did when they prayed and said, "Oh God, fill us with boldness and do signs and wonders. Show us some stuff." That's where life is in Christ Jesus, looking for the stuff. There's nothing wrong with stuff. There's everything right with the promises of God. There's everything right with God fulfilling his promises. There's everything right with revealing him as a responsible parent. A loving parent. A parent that would never. No good, responsible parent ever sits around and goes, "I got to figure out a way to trip that kid. I got to figure out a tough test for that kid." You know, Dorn, you never go to your gates, and you probably don't even have ropes on your gates. You got some other kind of gate. But if you had ropes, would you see if you could tie especially tough knots in it to make it a challenge to see if Sarah could overcome it to be with those cows? You know? Do you on occasion wrap a chain around it and put a padlock on it with a little note that says, "Find the key"? No. You don't look for a way to mess people up. And if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, what makes us think that God goes, "I'm going to test you to the max here, buddy. I'm going to do everything I can to get you to not believe in me"? Because if God was doing that, that's what it would be. It would ultimately be a thing to get us to give up. God's not trying to get us to give up. He wants us just to give in and present ourselves to him. To just allow him to, what was your word, Vicki? What was that? Don't put it away. What was it? Enter to that rest. To enter into the rest. What was before that? Not Okay. Enter into the rest that I have for you. Now rest in me. You've seen the light. Now rest in me. Rest in my truth. Love my truth. Trust my truth. Look for the truth more. Review for the new. Rather than trying to figure out why God's punishing you, why God's testing you, He doesn't want you to give up. He wants to encourage you. No responsible parent pushes a kid down when he's learning to walk. Oh, you're just about to walk. Knock that little critter down. That'll keep them from getting away from you later. They'll be afraid to walk. He doesn't want 15-year-olds crawling because they're afraid dad will knock them down. Hello? We got a lot of 15-year-old Christians crawling in this world. Still wandering about. And I'm not talking about 15 years in chronological age. I'm talking about people that have been with the Lord for years and years and years and years, and they're crawling around sucking their thumbs because they don't know to trust God. I don't know why God does this to me. Get your thumb out of your mouth. God ain't doing it to you. Well, isn't it silly? But that's what the devil would like every Christian to believe. God loves thumb suckers. When God said, become as little children, He didn't say, suck your thumbs and worry. He said, you are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens you. When you were a little baby, maybe you could have sucked your thumb once in a while. But He's telling Christians, grow up. How are they going to learn how to grow up? They're going to have to see some grown-ups. Remember, the psalmist said, man, if I'd have said those things, I'd have been untrue to the generation of your children. My children living in my house better not think that God's powerless. They better not think that God is not able. My almost 26-year-old son was a little boy needing his daddy for about 24 hours. Until he took authority over the devil and began to review for the new, began to plan for the best, because that's all God has for him. That's all God has for you. That's all God has for you is the best. You have an opportunity to grow in trials. But you'll never grow in them if you think God's throwing them at you. I'm not kidding you. If I thought God was making bad plans for me, I'd give up. I'd disappear on my God wing. And drive around with the throttle set, sucking my thumb. It's a picture, ain't it? Maybe I could suck my left thumb. Yeah. Just get me a nookie. You know? In a way, it wouldn't be bad if a lot of Christians had one of those with duct tape around it. Then all they could do is suck their pacifier and keep their mouth shut. I know, sometimes these messages just wander into nonsense that we can all understand. What's that say about us? That we are extra perceptive. We are able to see and to believe and to receive. Folks, God has given us power for life. Not power to wobble, not power to fall down, not power to whine, not power to barely survive, but power to thrive, have life. He's given us that. And he's transformed us. He's offered us the renewal of our minds so that we then can cast down those imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. In other words, we can apply His word. We're supposed to trust His truth. We can attack the lies of the enemy. And if we will receive it, become way more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And from that mindset, we will always have an answer. My Father in heaven has a hallowed name. And His kingdom is what's coming into my life. And His will is what I'm going to acknowledge in my life. And the bumps and the arrows and the darts of the enemy that the enemy throws at me, they are going to be snuffed out by my shield of faith. Because my Father in heaven is a responsible parent. He didn't bring me into this world to leave me in a dumpster. Or to leave me on the doorstep of a stranger, but He brought me into this world that I might know Him. And it's good for me to draw near to God so that I can declare all of His wonderful works. It's silly for me to stand back and to doubt and to wonder. And to agonize over things that God is getting me through, God isn't putting on me. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And as I review, I have a long-running movie of little and big and medium things that God did. If I look at the things that the enemy did that God had to overcome, then it gets ugly. If I sit around every 4th of July and try to figure out why God killed a child of mine, I would never get beyond 22 years ago, or how many ever years it was. He didn't do it. Even if I sit and I go, wow, if I'd have known then what I know now, I might have been able to raise him up. I don't even think, you know, that wouldn't even make any sense. It's better for me to draw near to God. And to think on the fact that a song erupted from my spirit that just blew me away and gave me the peace of God that passes understanding, that's a thing I'm going to share with someone. My new friend informed me that I didn't owe him anything and God didn't owe him anything, although he would like to have his mother back if I could put in a word for that because he missed her terribly. I said, I can't do that. Well, maybe I could. Let's go find her. No. But I can tell you about the peace of God that passes understanding and that can get you through it. He said, nothing works, only the booze. I said, oh, hey, I haven't been through what you have, but I know how you can use booze to paralyze you, to numb you. But it doesn't help anything, and it just takes money out of your family. I haven't heard from him since that, because he knows about that. God's got an answer for everybody. And He's given us the answers to share. He's given us the opportunities to help those who are in need. And there's no, the Apostle Paul, I think it was, that said, you know, there's no price too great, no nothing, no mountain too high, no nothing, nothing, nothing that is too great a price to pay to reach someone with this good news. And if our focus becomes a desire to just simply in everyday life, everywhere we are, if our focus becomes to declare the goodness of God, we'll have some things to declare. And it's a lot better to declare to people the good things of God than it is to tell them, you know, everybody sinned. Anybody who doesn't know Jesus is going to go to hell. But you can know Jesus and you can go to heaven. However those four spiritual laws go. Nothing that there's wrong with those. But nothing that's so right with him either, because what happens? Okay, yeah, I'll pray. I don't want to go to hell. Now what? Oh, I don't know. Figure that out yourself. Nah, let me tell you. Let me tell you about the good things of God. Let me tell you about the things God has in store for your life. Let me tell you about how good God is. Is that the kind of life you'd like? Yes. Okay, then. Let's pray. Now, just go out and get the promises. Go out and fall more in love with God. You'll never be sorry about it. What you'll find out if you seek Him enough is that He adores you and He loves you. Sometimes He just drops those little wonderful nuggets into our hearts kind of out of the blue. Just because He loves us. Just picks us up a little treat and hands it to us. Because He's so good. Folks, our lives need to reflect the goodness of God in the land of the living. Our hearts need to declare the goodness of God no matter what's going on. He lifts up His countenance upon us. God's countenance. When Sarah was sharing that, I just thought, yeah, that's God just adoring us. Coochie-coochie-coo. Isn't she cute? Everybody, hey, attention! God just holding you up, saying, everybody! Look at this one. That's sometimes hard for people to imagine that God would really want to do that. But I tell you what, you do yourself a favor imagining that until it's real. Until it's the realest thing in your life. Then you'll always have something worth reviewing. Wait a minute. Wait a second. You ever see people with their cell phones? Pulling out pictures for people? Showing people pictures? Wait. Let me show you this. This is God holding me up in heaven, telling everybody, pay attention. Now, of course, you don't have that on your cell phone. Well, maybe. Do you have it on your cell phone? No. But it should be an imagination that's like on the old type of film where the thing is imprinted upon it, and you've got that, whoa, God adores me. What do you know today? God adores me. Say what? I said, God adores me. How do you know that? He told me. Wanted to tell you too? Let's pray. Wanted to tell you too? Let's pray. Father in heaven, You are good. You are good. And God, oh God, the eyes of our understanding, our hearts be open to just receive how You adore us. You are such a good Father. That's why the Holy Spirit in us cries out, Abba, Daddy, Father. Oh, Lord, that we would see You as that. Not a demanding tyrant, but as our daddy. And from that mindset and that attitude, now we can present You to the world as an awesome God. How great is our God? Oh, it's good for us to draw near to You, Lord, and to declare all Your wonderful works. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.